When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Welcome to the Two Regular Guys podcast, a weekly internet radio show hosted by Aaron Montgomery and Terry Combs with a lively discussion of garment decoration, personalization, and customization. The show features industry guests with valuable information for screen printers, embroiderers, sublimators, heat-applied decorators, direct-to-garment users, and many more. Enjoy the show.
All right. Well, welcome into the show today, everybody. It is Friday, the 25th of March, 2016, and my name is Aaron Montgomery. I'm with Coastal Business Supplies, and you can also find me over at aaronmontgomery.info. As always, I'm joined by my very good friend, Terry Combs, who's with Equipment Zone, and you can also find his information over at terrycombs.com. Terry, it's good to be back home here doing a show for once. How are you doing over there?
Hey, I'm doing great, Aaron. You're right. This is we've done two shows in the row from Arlington, Texas, and then we did Atlantic City. So it's great to be doing the show from here in sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. And heck, we're back on the road again next week doing the live show from Minneapolis. This is my last opportunity to drive in snow next week in Minnesota, and hoping that does not happen. So.
You have no rest for the wicked, for sure. We're right back at it, but looking forward to going to Dax, Minnesota. I don't know if you had heard, but I'm telling everybody I know, so I'm not the only one in the water park, but they put a new water park in the casino, and apparently has, I don't know if it's just exhibitors or how it's working, but you get a free pass to the water park there, so I will... I'll be bringing my swimsuit, and we'll see how it goes.
You know, Aaron, when I booked my room, the woman on the phone made a big point of the fact they have this new water park, and I'm like, my first question was, it's inside, right?
Yes.
She assured me that it was.
Okay. Well, I would have gone either way. I love water parks, so it'll be good. So no, we're looking forward to that. But like you mentioned, we've been on the road quite a bit, and we'll talk a little bit about that here in just a second. But I do want to let everybody know that this week's show we're going to be talking estimating costs and creating bids in your production environment, and our guest Steve Steiger with Fast Accurate Bids is going to be with us. Steve has 30 years of experience in screen printing, and with some new partners has taken his compilation of spreadsheets and turned them into a complete software. So we'd had him scheduled for an earlier show and got some wires crossed there, but we've got him back and he is confirmed. He's hanging tight waiting for us here. So we're excited to talk to Steve and get some information to you folks. You know, certainly going to be great for screen printers, but I think you can take this information and use it across all the decorating techniques. So excited to talk to Steve here soon, but let's start off, Terry. What was your impression of, we'll start off with Arlington since that was the first one on the list. What was your impression of Arlington?
I
forgot. Tell us about your event too. I mean, so much stuff going on. I totally forgot about that, but give us a full rundown, Terry.
Well, in MBM Arlington, the first time, and surprising, you know, all the trade shows over the years that I've done, you know, you and I have both done, I had never been to the MBM Arlington show, so it was tremendous. It was a great show, and we were doing in-booth seminars that got a lot of response, and you know, Texas is a great marketplace, and you know, if you're a vendor and you're exhibiting, people come to your booth and they want to buy, and we sales guys love that, so.
Yeah.
But for the first time, we also, this was sponsored by Epson, sponsored by SGIA, and of course by Equipment Zone. We did an all-day seminar the day before the show opened, basically on the Epson F2000 Direct Garment Printer, and we had tremendous turnout. I mean, we had 60 people in the class, That based on top of the fact that there were tornadoes, there was flooding. The local weather news, they were saying, if you don't have to travel, don't. Even to go set up, we had to walk through 3 inches of water. There's no way into the convention center without just walking right through the water and setting up all day in your wet tennis shoes. But it was really exciting for the first time through. Lots of fun and we went 10 to 5. And it was a great event. We're doing the FSM is sponsoring that same event at all the NBM shows, all the 3 day NBM shows. So not doing Denver or is it Portland?
Portland.
But all the others. So next will be Indianapolis, and we'll have it all down by then. But you know, when you do an event where I kind of me here, and I'm kind of MC of everything, but then having a couple other people jump in and do their parts, and our entire rehearsal was chatting about it over the phone before before the show started. So it was great. What did you think, Darren? I know you've done that show before.
Yeah. This is our second year there as Coastal, and it was a great event. You know, talking to the folks that were there, you know, on the attendees side of it, you know, there was a ton of good education, you know, with what you guys had going on, and then a lot of the companies. So NBM does it a little bit differently, where their education tracks are actually sponsored, I guess is the best way to put it, by the folks putting them on. You know, so you buy your time slot, and gives those folks a little more freedom to kind of talk about their products and whatnot. But we've talked about this in the past, and I think people have done a really good job of making sure that they're still bringing an excellent amount of content. It's not just a 90-minute sales pitch. So I heard some really great things about the education that was there. In fact, one of the funny ones that I heard about that was really well done was an event that Condi put on, and you're not going to want to hear this, Terry, but it was basically talking about the white toner printer versus the DTG equipment, and
whatever could have been their opinion of that.
they were certainly pro white toner printer, and Doug DeWitt, who's the laser guru over at Condi, was wearing a white tuxedo, kind of dressed as the ring announcer, so to speak, and it was kind of a boxing match, so it was pretty funny, and we may have to steal some of that ideas for an upcoming event you and I are doing, but anyways,
exactly.
So I heard good things about that. Yep, heard good things about that. You and I did get a chance to talk to David Gross of Condi there on the live podcast, so that was great, and talking to Josh from Direct Capital on our live podcast about leasing, you know. So I think all in all it was a great turnout. Like you said, the weather did probably keep a few people home that were planning on being there, but at the end of the day, I think it was a great show, and NBM continues to shine there in Arlington. So hopefully they've found a home long term there. They'd kind of bounced around Texas and different areas before, so
don't forget, you and I had the opportunity to watch a little bit of Kansas basketball as well. So
yeah,
you do recall that, don't you?
No, I don't. I tuned out for that.
You were the guy cheering. You were getting the guy cheering for the other team, no matter who the other team was.
Yes, exactly. That was me, and it did not go well for me. So that's why I forgot all about it.
My Jayhawks are still going strong after winning last night, beating Maryland by 16. Elite Eight,
I was
baby.
Hoping,
I know it wasn't even on the outline. I snuck it in there. I didn't put it on the outline so you could purposely skip over it.
Yep, that was my hope. You had asked me before the show started about basketball, and I said, "What's basketball?" My Wildcats got beat by a play-in team, and the team that I had going all the way lost in the first round in Michigan State. So I have stopped watching. I turned off all the notifications on my phone. I don't even know what's going on. So. I just threw in the
towel. That's why I've been able to get through to you.
Well, so we hit the ground back home. I don't even know if you went home, but maybe you did. Turned right back around and headed out to beautiful sunny Atlantic City. Oddly enough, what was your take on that show?
Who would ever imagine you could describe Atlantic City in March as beautiful and sunny? But my gosh, it was. I've been going to that show since 1979, and absolutely the best weather ever for that show. It was incredible, it was a good show. And we were doing at Equipment Zone. We were doing the in booth seminars there, and again, great response with that. But it was an interesting show, and I'm curious what your take on it is. You and I haven't talked since the show, but I didn't feel that it was as busy as shows in the past, but it was a productive show. And my gauge was this, and the show was big. It was combined with PPAI, so it was really spread out. But there was, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, but we had 5 people in our booth, but never at any time did we have everyone talking to a customer and then other customers waiting. So that was my gauge of not as busy as in the past, but again, a productive show. So, in the end, if I only have 10 people walk in my booth and they all buy something, I'm all good with 10 people attending the show. not that there were only 10 people there, but what was your experience with that, Eric?
Yeah, I think you probably have hit the nail on the head a little bit there, you've been going. You said since what, 1979 to that show? I felt
you
like I've been going to that. Yeah, I was not allowed
to
enter the show in
1960. You have to be 16 to get in the show. So.
Just to let you know, Terry, I wouldn't have been allowed to get in for the first 10 years you went to that show. So anyways, we're not going to throw stones here. So I've been going to the show for, I think, 15, 16 years now. And to my knowledge, that's the first time that they've ever done the show as a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Correct.
So that was one of the changes, and we talked to Jeff Brown on the live show there about that. And then the other change is they moved it a week later. So it was always a week before, typically. And I knew that because normally I would go to Atlantic City and go home and then head to Las Vegas for the basketball tournament, and I was unable to do that this year. So.
Right.
So, I don't know how those changes affected it. Again, in talking to Jeff, they did that as a partnership with PPAI to help with their schedule. Their attendees are much more of a weekday type attendees, where the ISS attendees are, especially in the Northeast there, I think, are more of the, I've got a business to run, operate during the week, so I want to come on the weekend. In fact, I talked to several people on Friday. I don't know if you remember John from Arizona Screen Printing out there in New Jersey.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, John's a great guy, and I had mentioned to him, I said, yeah, yesterday was a little bit slow, and he's like, yesterday? I thought yesterday was setup day. And I'm like, nope, show moved Thursday.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay. Well, he was only planning on being there on Friday anyways. But the first time I had heard that. People weren't aware that the show was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
After so many years of that show being in the same place and the same dates, I can certainly see that, someone not paying any attention to that.
Yeah, and I don't think it was a negative thing necessarily. I think it was certainly, just new, and change takes time to kind of happen and walk in. If you would have talked to me on Friday afternoon, I would have been a little bit concerned about the show, but Saturday was a fantastic day,
exactly.
Like you said, it was very, very productive. We didn't have the number of leads that we've had in the past, but it was a fantastic opportunity. The right buyers were there. Great,
right.
you know, people that just wanted to learn, and I think they got a lot out of it too. And I think in a way it was really positive for folks because, like you said, there wasn't people waiting in the aisles to talk to somebody just getting frustrated because they couldn't get their questions answered. You know, we were able to talk to just about everybody and so help them get their questions answered, you know, help them make the right decisions. And you know, and I heard a lot of people that we talked to were saying, okay, well, I'll be back because I've got to run to a class. And, you know, so a lot of positive stuff out of the classes that were being put on. So, yeah, I would call a win.
Well, and to your point about the PPAI folks being more weekday, I hadn't really considered that, but you're exactly correct because PPAI folks are generally will buy all the products that they resell. Whereas on the ISS side, we are mostly primarily manufacturers, so it's harder for us to shut down and go to a weekday show. So that's a very good point.
Yeah, I think now if I remember correctly, they're moving it even one more week back next year, so it'll be after St. Patrick's Day weekend next year. So I don't know, you know, if that affects it positively or negatively, but
I'm going to have to consult the basketball schedule before I commit to the show. I'm just telling you that.
Yep.
The Final Four next year. The Final Four next year is in Phoenix. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Oh boy. all right. Well, let's. You know, we've got a guest that's been hanging on, so I don't want to keep him waiting too long. Let's quickly hear a word from our sponsor. Again, we have been blessed to have such a great sponsor in Equipment Zone for basically the entirety of the show almost, and so really appreciate Harry's support of our show over the years and giving you the hour each Friday to come and chat with us, hour and a half sometimes or whatever you're telling him. So here's Terry telling us about Equipment Zone, and definitely please frequent Equipment Zone so people know that you're listening to this show. Here we go.
Our show today is sponsored by Equipment Zone. Go to equipmentzone.com for the Epson F2000 direct-to-garment printer. Equipment Zone is the only Epson reseller who sends a technician to every customer location for training. This is an absolutely free visit to your location. Equipment Zone is also the manufacturer of the number one pre-treat machine in the industry, the Speedtreater TX. With no compressor and no special tanks, the Speedtreater TX is the easiest and most consistent pre-treat machine available worldwide. Go to equipmentzone.com for the Epson F2000, the Speedtreater TX, and for all your DTG inks and supplies. That's equipmentzone.com. That's equipmentzone.com.
All right. Well, again, make sure you head on over to equipmentzone.com and tell them that you heard about them on the Two Regular Guys podcast, and keep them part of our show. So thank you very much. All right, Terry, are we ready? Are we ready to bring Steve in here and get into the meat of our show?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, sorry, let me get to the right place here. Didn't have the right part pulled up, but all right. It's been a while since I've run the board, Terry, so I'm a little out of it here. All right. So we've got Steve Steiger, and he's been a screen printer for over 30 years and developed spreadsheets for figuring costs, markups, and creating customer bids. Steve found these spreadsheets were comprehensive and worked well, but employees found them too hard to learn. So working with Myra Harmer, and Steve will correct me later, for Steve's sales department, and with her background in computers, Fast Accurate Bids was born. So Steve, welcome into the show today. Oh, you know what? I should actually hit
the
right button.
Nice to be on.
All right. Steve, sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. Are you there now?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me on the show.
Great. Thanks for joining us today, Steve.
And the underlying comment there is thanks for having me on the show eventually, because we did go on and on before we brought you. I apologize for that, because that was all me, Steve.
No problem. I'm glad I'm not following the basketball.
You're not?
No.
Well,
so,
Steve,
so
let's,
I,
let's
so,
Go ahead.
My first thought for the Dax Minnesota was the water park outside. I was in Minnesota a couple of years ago in the spring, and it was still frozen solid, and a blizzard came through. So,
yes, that was my first thought too, and it is in fact indoors. So, but knowing Minnesota, it's probably also 60 degrees indoors. So, we'll see. I'm going to see how Aaron fares in the lazy river before I jump in.
Nice.
Well, so Steve, let's jump right into the topic since I rambled on a little bit. Talk to us about the different price profile for different types of customers in your estimating costs and in creating bid scenario.
Well, over the years, I've been screen printing for over 30 years, and I found there are basically three kinds of clients out there. There's the standard retail client, the person who comes in off the street. They're usually, most of them have never ordered shirts before. They would get the top price. Then you have special kinds of customers like schools and churches and nonprofits that you want to give a discount to. And the third kind of customer is a wholesale customer where you're a contract printer or a contract apparel decorator. So those are the three kinds of customers that I've noticed. There's a lot of subsets, but those are the three major ones.
Interesting.
Excellent. So, Steve, how do you know if you're charging the right price for your work then?
Well, if you get 100% of the bids that you bid on, you're not charging enough.
That's a good point.
That's an excellent point.
If you are getting less than 40% of your bids, you're probably charging too much, unless your shop is completely full and you've got all the work you can do, then you're charging, you could even maybe charge a little more. But if you're getting between 60 and 75% of the bids that you're doing, you're probably charging the right amount.
That's interesting information and excellent points. You're kind of giving us ideas like the three different kinds of customers. Now, I've been doing this for years and years, but I never categorized them before. And I thought, man, that is exactly the customer base out there. So that's a great point. So, Steve, you know, speaking of pricing, and I get questions about pricing all the time myself. Would you say that price is the most important factor to the customer, or is it something else?
Well, to some customers, yes, absolutely. You can have a steady customer for 5 years, and they can find it a dime cheaper elsewhere, and they'll leave you without even mentioning it. So some customers, yes, but most customers, no. Customer service and quality are much more important than being the lowest price. Again, you know, when you put your bid out there, the customer service, I think, is actually the most important thing. That give it to them on time, give them as much customer support as you can, help them through ordering the items, giving them enough information to get the correct kind of giving the customer enough information to get the job. You know, because they're most of the customers that are retail sales have really never ordered before. They don't have a clue what's going on. They don't know that, you know, polo shirts cost a lot more than basic T-shirts. They don't know that ordering two shirts is going to be really expensive. So I have found over the years that being nice, giving good service, showing them what you can do makes a heck of a lot more difference than giving them the absolute lowest price.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
When I do my screen printing classes, one of the things I talk about in pricing is you have a choice. You can be the price guy or you can be the service guy. And then I put my hand over the price and say, for the quiz, let me give you a hint, always be the service guy because, you know, your life's going to be a lot happier with that customer that values service over price. So I agree with you 100%.
Oh. And if they're not paying the cheapest price, they expect to have a little better service, but they're also much more flexible and understanding.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you've given them that service, and it's a really good point. Because more often than not, the guy that shows up saying I'm going to be the price guy, you're not going to see him again in a couple of years. Unfortunately, there's just too much risk to when you're cutting things that thin. You gotta
do
something
true.
Else.
The customer that walks in and says, I never pay regular price. I'm like, you know, keep walking.
Yeah, that's probably pay more than a regular price.
Really?
Yeah.
I have a special price for you. Here's my, you know, you'll never pay regular price. Sure, here's my 10% more.
That's right. Absolutely.
Nobody gets this price.
Perfect. So Steve, you know, talking about some of this stuff, but, you know, one thing, and Terry's our resident screen print guy, I know just enough to be dangerous, but do you recommend that the operators, your software users, have a minimum order?
For screen printing, absolutely. It takes as long to set up to do 100 shirts as it does to set up to do 6 shirts. And it's really hard to make money on 6 shirts. You know, if a job takes an hour from beginning to end, when the customer walks in the door, you have to talk to them, they have to order the shirts, you have to set up the screens, print them, box them. If it takes an hour to do a whole job, it's really hard to make money if you're just doing 6 shirts, when doing 24 shirts takes almost the same amount of time. So over the years, I have gone from doing a few shirts to right now my minimum order is 24, and I have my competition around here will do a dozen shirts, but they're not making any money on that. So, and that's where BTG and embroidery come in, you know, fill that void really nicely.
Exactly. You know, because in the past, at least for screen printers, you didn't have that option. And you know, people, I talk to people all the time who really struggle with that because, and here's the scenario that people trip over. This customer gives me, let's say, $10,000 a year in printing, but then he comes in and wants 6 shirts. And so what do I do with that guy? You know,
absolutely. So, you print those shirts.
Well, exactly.
For the regular customer, you print them. You smile and say, here you go.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
That's what I tell people as well. You know, sometimes you have to accommodate that great customer. And because, you know, people talk to me and they want the rule, everything in black and white. And guess what? It's not in black and white. You have to look at every situation and say, you know, yay or nay on it. I was just talking to a group recently, and they were talking on this subject about special customers and this and that. And I said, you know, back when I used to print for Disney, and I had a lot of other customers too, when Disney called and said, hey, you know what, we need some shirts, and we need them day after tomorrow. Did I drop everything and do it? I absolutely did. So you just have to make that call.
Yeah. And there's another thing that you can
go ahead.
Oh, another thing with the minimum orders is if somebody says they want 10 shirts, you can create a bid for 10 shirts, 18 shirts, and 24 shirts. And when they look at the price difference, they're going to go, well, 24 shirts is not that much more than 10 shirts. And you
right.
can upsell and make more money.
And that's what I find also is with the customers and what I call educated buyers and not educated buyers. And most of our customers are not educated buyers, meaning they're not professional buyers, is that they have trouble comprehending that it takes the same amount of time to do 6 shirts as it does to do 24, 36, or even 48 shirts. That the printing part's the easy part. It's everything
else
in printing that costs us money, costs us time. So speaking of that, Steve, what's your take on minimum charges for orders?
Well, every shop has its own shop rate, how much money you want to charge to make money per hour. And my shop, I want to make $80 an hour on my shop time. So I actually make my bids so that if they demand one shirt and they're not taking no for an answer, I'm going to charge $80 plus the shirt plus this, you know, plus anything else for that one shirt. And they're going to look at me and go, $80? I don't think so. On the other hand, a couple Christmases ago, they wanted, these people wanted one sweatshirt printed two colors on one side and three colors on the other side, and I charged $120 for that one sweatshirt, and they were really happy. So, you know, it's, you know, you have to make money on every job.
Right, right.
And a minimum charge is one way to do that.
And you, Steve, you brought up a really good point there where you talk about how much your shot needs to make per hour. And I think too many shots don't look at it that way. And what you have to understand, what our listener has to understand out there who's curious what we're talking about here is there is a finite amount of time production-wise in your shop. And those machines, you know, generally on a regular work week, if you've got one manual press, you've got 37 and a half hours of production time. You've got to make money all 37 and a half hours, whether that's somebody paying for you to set up the job or somebody paying $80 for the T-shirt. You've got to make that money.
Yes, that's true. And you have a choice. If you have to do two different jobs, one job you're making $30 to do the whole job, and the other one you're making $150 to do the whole job, and they take you almost the same amount of time, which one should you do? You know,
let's see.
And, you know, yeah, so it took me a long time to come up with the fact that having a minimum charge and setting up a minimum order really makes a lot of sense. You know, I hate to say no to work, but if somebody wants just six shirts and I'm going to make $30 on six shirts, no, it's not worth it.
Yeah. Right. Well, your time has value, and that's what a lot of folks don't realize.
Yeah, I mean, we are providing a custom service that most of the time is superb, and people will pay for good service and good quality and good products. And if they want to get six shirts, I send them to the person with the DDG machine. You know, I don't have to spend an hour doing a few shirts. So.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. So Steve, a lot of our listeners are kind of smaller, you know, maybe a garage or basement type printer, but they're going to at some point, you know, grow their business and maybe have a sales rep that's not themselves. And, you know, so typically sales reps like to get paid. That's what I hear, at least. But,
they're just greedy like that.
I know. I know. Terry, he's a predatory sales guy, and he has to get paid. anyway, but Steve, do you take sales reps' commissions as part of your pricing structure? How does that look?
Oh, absolutely. Before I got my first outside salesperson, I didn't have a commission in there. I just had my regular price. When I got a commissioned salesperson, which was Meyer Harmer, she was my very first outdoor salesperson, I realized that what I did was I added money to the job and took a little bit of money off mine. So I gave her the 15% commission. And then I realized, well, wait a minute, if I make the sale, I can make that 15% commission. That's money in my pocket. That's profits for me. I mean, I'm doing all the work. So as a small businessman, if you have your own business, putting a commission on there is a pretty reasonable thing to do. Now, there's a couple other things about the commission that make life really easy. One is if you start with a commission, when you get a salesperson, you've got that built in there. You're already making your money on the items and you're printing. Another thing is if you have a special customer like a school or a church or an organization, you can cut your commission in half and you're still making that same amount of money on your printing and stuff. You're just not making as much profits in your pocket because you're giving that away. And the third thing about a commission is if you're doing wholesale printing, contract printing, they are your salesperson. So they would get all the commission. So you would just take the commission off your print prices
again, you're making as much money on your printing as you want. They're making the sale, so they should get the commission. So it solves three problems in one fell swoop.
That's a great point.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny, speaking of commissions, and it's kind of an interesting thing depending on management of a company, whether or not they've ever been in sales before. Because, you know, you hear stories about companies saying, wow, that sales rep, they're making too much money now, so I'm going to cut back on the commission. And, you know, the way I've always looked at it, it's funny, I was just chatting with Harry over at Equipment Zone about this. And we're both, you know, from the same background, and we're like, man, I hope that sales rep makes so much money that they're driving a Porsche to work every day.
because
sales rep is making money so high.
Well, and it's not your money. I mean, you know, it's part of the sale. The customer is paying that whole amount. Of that amount, the commission's part of that, the bid. So it's not like it's your money. If they didn't make the sale, they wouldn't make any money. You wouldn't make any money.
Right. Well, yeah. And an excellent point. Excellent point. It's not your money. You're exactly correct. It is part of the sale, and that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, for sure. You've got like Steve just said, if you're putting it in at the start too, you know, that gives you a lot of freedom to do those things, like you said, a wholesale or working with a nonprofit or something along those lines. So that's a fantastic idea.
And cool. Getting back to the point of your the three different kinds of customers, and are you charging the right amount? If your price with the commission is too high, you obviously need to cut prices somewhere, but the salesperson is not the place to cut the prices because they'll go elsewhere. That's how they make the money.
Exactly right. Well, Steve, you mentioned earlier about making money on every job. Let's talk about making money on jobs. And just as importantly, how do you know you're making money on every job?
Oh, wow. That's really... You know, your accountant at the end of the year will help you understand that. But if
you see red numbers at the end, then you know. Is that
if every part of a job, you are making some money on every part of the job, that your screens, when you make screens, if you're making money, you know, if it's costing you $14.50 to make a screen and you're charging $15, you're obviously making a little money there. On the items, when you buy the items and you mark them up, you know you're making money on the items. Personally, you know, almost every time I do a job, I time it. Every time I start something new, I actually have a stopwatch and see how long it literally takes to print a shirt and how many shirts an hour I can print, how much I'm charging for that. So it's, you know, doing time studies is one of the most important things you could do to find out if you're actually making money. And
well, you're
if
a man
you
after
say,
my own heart there, Steve, a man after my own heart. I actually wrote a book called Scheduling and Estimating Production Time, and the whole book is just talking about how to do that.
and without that, you have no idea. You know, it's
right.
Like, and, you know, when a printer is printing, you know approximately how long that job's going to take. And you know that, you know, it's, you know, 200 shirts. He's doing 100 shirts an hour. That should take him 2 hours. If you have no idea how long it takes to print 200 shirts and you've overscheduled yourself too much, you'll be there until midnight.
Well, you know, and Steve, let me add something there. Not only do you know, you know, if you say, yes, it should take this amount of time, so – yes, I'm making money on the job, but it's also a benefit to that printer who's working for you because then they know what's expected of them. Because if they don't know, they could be, you know, somebody who prints 50 shirts an hour might think they're the best printer on the planet, and the next operator, he's printing 150 shirts an hour, and he thinks, I'm about to lose my job. I know I should be going faster than this. So if you have a standard, then my take is this. Most employees want to do a good job, but you have to set the standard for them, and it's got to be a realistic standard. It's got to be – you can't say, well, gosh, we can normally print 100 shirts an hour, But we've got enough orders. We have to print 150 an hour. That's not being realistic.
Right. I mean, I am probably the third fastest printer I've ever known. And my criteria for my printers is they go half my speed. If they can go half my speed, I'm pretty happy. You know, if they can go 3/4 of my speed, I'm real happy. If they can go faster than me, I'm ecstatic. But yeah, I mean, giving them an idea, saying, you know, and also timing them so that they understand how fast they're going. Not to pick on them, but to give them a clue, saying, well, you know, this was 200 shirts. This was, you know, let's be realistic. 120 shirts an hour for a two-color is not outrageous. But 60 shirts an hour for a two-color, if you can do them, you know, three times faster than that, that's bad.
Right, right.
And I'm talking about a manual press, not an auto press. Auto press is all
right, of course.
A whole different
yeah.
bailiwick.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely. So, Steve, let's talk a little bit about raising prices. I guess my question is should you, and if so, why should you?
Raising prices. I mean, with Fast Accurate Bids, I've been talking to a lot of different people about their price structure. And a lot of them haven't raised their prices in 5 years, and in one case, 10 years. And I go, well, haven't your costs gone up? And they go, well, yeah. And so, again, going back to if you have old customers that you've been dealing with a long time, letting them know the prices have gone up, your costs have gone up, so prices have to go up. They won't complain. They see it everywhere. They go to the grocery store. They're paying more. Prices really need to be evaluated probably every 2 to 3 years at a minimum.
I agree with that. And your customer, and if they're like in retail or whatever, their prices are going up too, and they're probably thinking, man, I'm charging more and more for this product. I'm paying the same price. What a sweet deal.
Exactly. And I had work with, you know, I just raised my prices just recently. I raised them a year and a half ago, and I raised them up a couple months ago, and no one complained. All my old customers are still with me. I'm getting the same amount of customers I had before, so I'm not losing any jobs because I raised my prices a little bit.
You know, interestingly enough, when I first started in business, like a lot of people, I didn't know what I was doing with my pricing. And then I started, you know, putting the pencil to it and the calculator to it. And I raised my prices substantially. And I remember one of my customers saying to me, Walter, this is a lot more than you used to charge me. And my response to him was, you know what, I need to make a living doing this. And he goes, he said, well, you know what, me too. And he remained a customer of mine for as long as I owned my business. So.
Most old customers are understanding. Most new customers are comparing prices a lot of times or service, and they'll still deal with you. They'll still like it.
Right, exactly. Well, Steve, something that you had talked about with us before, you mentioned scams and fraudsters. Talk to us a little bit about what you mean by that.
Besides the who is it? The Nigerian prince.
who, by the way, if anybody out there has not received an email saying, I need to buy 500 T-shirts, and it's from Nigeria.
Well, and if they're asking you for blank shirts, why the heck would they come to you for blank shirts? If they're asking
and do you accept credit cards?
Yeah, you know, I the first few times I got some of those emails, I did the bids, and they were really long and complicated and stuff, and I realized, this doesn't make any sense. A couple of the clues are, if they don't tell you who they are, if they don't have a business website, if they don't have a phone number, those are pretty good clues.
Right.
And don't respond to them.
Exactly, exactly.
I guess, there, I guess the biggest clue is, do they have contact information in the States? And if there's a website, if you go to the website and it's a real thing, that's probably not a scam.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right. And really, typically, if you are dealing with somebody that says you're shipping it out of the country, you just need to tell them you need a wire transfer. As soon as you tell them that you're only accepting a wire transfer, they either go away or and one quick note on that, too, though, maybe from experience, when you are dealing with somebody like that and you do need to get a wire transfer, make sure that you do have a separate bank account for wire transfers that you don't keep much money in. That way, if you do give them the banking information and they do try to steal from that account, there's not anything there for them to take.
Interesting.
I think we're frightening a lot of people out there. This is a rarity.
Yeah.
So, you know, bottom
totally.
Line is if it smells a little bit when you read that email, just delete it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That's probably a good point. Very good point. All right, Steve. So we've talked a lot about identifying where we are with a particular order, but when do we say no thank you to jobs, customers? I know we've talked a little bit about some of those things, but there's definitely some areas where it's probably better just to walk away.
I know it's so hard for me to say no thank you. If the customer is a pain in the butt, that A, they want it today, they want you to get the lowest possible price, and they refuse to pay for 90 days or 120 days, and at the end of that time, you realize that you haven't made any money on the job, that's not a very good customer. I had one customer not that long ago that I was printing a lot of stuff for, and I realized, you know, it started out pretty good, that they were giving me 2 weeks and they were giving me bigger orders, and it ended up I was doing order fulfillment. They don't want 6 shirts. They give me an order for 500, but some of those were 6 shirts and 12 shirts and multicolors and stuff like that. And then they started paying in 30 days and then 60 days and then 90 days. And then they wanted me to pay full retail for any errors. It's like, I don't think so, you know, thank you very much. I really appreciate your business, but no, and
it's time to fire
found out
that
later,
customer.
I fired the customer. That's right. And I was a much happier shop after that. So the bottom line is, when to say no to a customer is when you're not making any money. That's the first thing. If you're going to do a job for free and that's not the goal of that job, I think you need to say no thank you.
Steve, also, you know, add to that, a lot of times there's that, you know, when you talk about that customer kind of driving you crazy, if there's that one customer that you have to give 80% of your concentration to just to keep them happy, then there are too many good customers out there that, you know, I'm all about walking away from a customer that makes my life miserable, because life's too short for that.
Oh, yeah. One customer last year, I spent about 5 hours with him before production, and production took a half an hour.
That's a pretty good sign.
And, you know, I was just being nice, and he was a novice. He had never done anything like this before, and it was his business, it's his baby, and the last time he came in, I was like, okay, make up your mind. You got to go. And he goes, well, you're being short with me. And I go, I've spent so much time on this and you've ordered nothing. You know, please. And then he called me up and go, I'm sorry, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, so it's,
at least you're gonna,
you want to be nice to customers,
but
there's a limit.
Exactly.
It's like free artwork. How much artwork can you do for free? And when should you start paying for it? And there's a kind of a limit. There's like a, you know, yeah, this is going to be really easy. You just want text. You want it to be curved and stuff like that. That's fine. You want me to create, you know, a masterpiece for nothing that's going to take me 5 hours? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think a lot of new printers also will kind of, I think a lot of new printers will kind of paint themselves into a corner because they don't define those things up front. You know, for instance, a lot of folks will say the first 30 minutes of artwork is free, and after that it's $35 or $50 an hour. And you need to define those things up front because the next thing you know, you're spending 2 days creating, you know, 17 images for somebody to choose from, and there's no money to be made right there. And Steve, we've talked a lot about this estimating and pricing and things like that, but you have a product, and we want to make sure before we sign off here that we talk about that. Your product is Fast Accurate Bids. Tell us about what motivated you to start this this venture.
Steve, you still
are you there, Steve?
You know what? For some reason it dropped.
Let me hang up on
see if I got him back. Nope.
Okay,
Steve, you there?
I'm here.
We got you back. I don't know why it dropped, but you're back. So, Terry, why don't you ask Steve Steve the question again?
I think that Aaron didn't like your last response, or he just hung up on you. But,
I did not touch
nothing.
A thing. All right.
As I was saying, you know, we talked a lot about the pricing and estimating things like that. But you actually have a product, and we want to make sure that we talk about that here before we sign off. Your product is Fast Accurate Bids, and tell us a little bit about that. And you know, where did that come from? What motivated you to start the Fast Accurate Bids?
Well, I have been a screen printer obviously for a long time, and I started doing spreadsheets for bids back in the 1970s. For a few years, I became an Excel expert. I worked on Excel for 8 hours a day for 3 years. So I knew Excel really well. I created a spreadsheet for my bidding that was really pretty wonderful. But when my outdoor salesperson, she could spend an hour doing a bid that would just take me a few minutes because she wasn't that familiar with Excel. I mean, she was smart, but Excel's pretty hard. And my spreadsheet had, I think, 55 columns. So it was very elaborate. Yeah.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy. So we were looking for some software that she could do bids on. And there was nothing out there on the market. There was nothing easy and accurate. And I know screen printing. Myra worked in the documentation and industry for software. So she'd been working in the software industry for a long time. Her husband was a software engineer for a really long time. So the three of us put our heads together and say, we've got the skill set to make an awesome program. And we've made an awesome program.
That's awesome. Steve, I've heard lots of great things about it, and we have had a chance to chat with you a little bit on some of the live shows, but you know, the question that I had and wanted to talk about this a lot more, but we had such a great time talking about some of the other stuff that we're going to have to jump ahead a little bit here. But if your business is already using a software like a Fast Manager or maybe an InkSoft or something along those lines, do you need Fast Accurate Bids as well?
Well, Fast Accurate Bids is actually a great way to get the pricing structure that you could put into those other programs. Those programs don't tell you how much to charge. Our program allows you to do the settings and do different profiles to give you a price list that you can use to in those other programs. Like AGP, they have holes where you put all your pricing. Our program can fill those holes with accurate pricing for different quantities, different colors, even different kinds of customers. You know, again, getting back to the three different kinds of customers, your retail, your wholesale, and your special customers, you can create three different profiles, one for each. So you can get a price structure for your retail pricing. You get a price structure for your special customers and a pricing for your wholesale quickly and easily.
Well, very
so
good.
That's,
you know,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, you know, Steve, we are getting down to the end of our hour, and so I want to make sure that our listeners know where they can find you and Fast Accurate Bids.
Well, they can go to fastaccuratebids.com, and we have a 30-day fully functioning trial. It's the entire program that lasts for 30 days. We have free customer support. The product is only $297, which is very, very reasonable. Updates are free. It comes with three connectors. We have Sanmar, American Apparel, and Alpha Broder, but you can put in any item you want as part of your bid. It's really easy to take any item from any other supplier, put the prices in there, put the information in there, and create a bid.
Well, that's awesome, Steve.
Well, Steve, thanks again for coming on the show. Glad we finally got connected up on this. And will we be seeing you next week in Minnesota?
No, we're not going to Minnesota this time. It's,
okay,
we're enjoying the almost sunshine here. And thank you very much for having me on.
Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. And we'll look forward to seeing you next show. And definitely everybody get over there and check out fastaccuratebids.com. We'll put it out on our social media and have it in the show notes here. So great software you've got there. And appreciate all you do for the industry.
Okay, thank you. And enjoy the show.
All right, Aaron. I think we have time for a couple more things. But first of all, we should hear from our other sponsor.
Yeah, absolutely. Here we go.
GarmentDecoratingSupply.com wants to help you make garments and other personalized products. Come check out GarmentDecoratingSupply.com as they add new products like the Oki Data White Toner Transfer System, Heat Transfer Paper, and more coming soon. Then be sure to check out their full line of prepress supplies like film and ink for film positives, RIP software, and other useful items. There is no minimum order size, and they bring years of industry experience and a true belief in the value of customer service. As a Two Regular Guys listener, take 5% off any item through the end of March 2016. Just go to GarmentDecoratingSupply.com and use the coupon code 2RG to save 5%. Again, visit GarmentDecoratingSupply.com and save 5% with the coupon code 2RG.
Awesome. Well, make sure to support our new sponsor in Garment Decorating Supply and get on over there and check out what they've got going. New stuff coming up all the time. And real quick, before we keep moving on here, Terry, I had one eye on the chat. Like I said, it's been so long since I've actually operated the board here that I'm way off my game. But so there was we've got Alan Howell and Greg Kitson and some other folks in the chat room, and Greg just had a comment about Steve that I thought it would be good to share with the listeners who weren't in the chat. And he said, Steve's been a friend and regular seminar participant for years, and he loves the fact that he's always asking why. Why does that make sense? Why do you do that? Why do you price that way? Greg says he's built that into his software, and I agree. That's a fantastic place to start.
Excellent.
And I gotta love smart people like Steve. And spend that much time on an Excel spreadsheet, you definitely have the knack for it. So that's awesome. So appreciate Steve joining us today.
Exactly. Well, Aaron, we have time for we haven't done this for a while either, since we do so many live shows lately. But one quick tip people can use today. What's your quick tip this week?
Well, my quick tip is back to my probably a soapbox situation here. So I'll try to be brief with it. But back in 2014, I wrote a somewhat ranting blog post about how to not do customer service. I'd had it up to my neck with Sears and the way they had handled their customer service, and so I decided to write about it. And anyways, if you go over to aaronmontgomery.info, you can find that that blog. But lately, I've noticed some things, you know, even around my company and otherwise, that just stood out to me. So I planned on kind of doing an update to that blog soon. But I thought maybe giving the listeners here a little sneak peek of a couple of the key points that I want to address would be good. So for now, let me give you those two key points. First off, how you look at customer service. Is there, how does it fit into your business? You know, to me, it's really a part of your sales and marketing success, and they're the front line of your company, and you should probably not view them as an administrative function. So that's one. Number two, train your customer service team to understand what your company's values are, and how to best help the customers with empathy. And I think that's something that maybe is lost from time to time, the empathy part, which basically just means put yourself into the shoes of the person on the other side of the line. So I think that's the most important thing you can do, and number one thing you should do with your customer service reps, entering orders and processing returns and things like that should be the last thing that you work on. So that's my kind of soapbox for today. And like I said, if you head over to aaronmontgomery.info, you'll be able to hopefully soon read the update to that. So there you go.
Well, you could spend your Easter holiday working on that.
Most likely will. Well, hey, real quick, Terry, before we get, I know we want to cover some events here before we get out the door here, but just want to remind everybody that we are pretty excited about the fact that this has been over 3 years that the two regular guys have been doing this. We're the first and most listened to industry podcast, and that's not a brag. It's more to say, you know, thanks to everybody out there that supported us that we've been able to do this for so long. So we're humbled by everybody tuning in each week, and we want to bring you guys up-to-date information about business that's going to help you grow your business. And so if you head on over to our webpage at tworegularguys.com and check out what we've got going on over there. But I ideally love to have everybody suggest some topics they'd like to learn more about. You can hit us up through the Contact Us page. You can email us info@tworegularguys.com or we're on most of the major social media locations, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, those kinds of things, with the number 2 regular guys. So love to have your input there. And last but not least, if you are listening to this through the iTunes feed, we'd really appreciate if you'd jump onto iTunes there and give us a little review on there as well. Let people know what they can expect from the two regular guys. So, Terry, what do you got coming up here in the not so distant future?
Real quick, my complete screen printing business course, intro to screen printing. It's a 2-day course, a Saturday and Sunday. Next up is Workhorse Products in Phoenix. It'll be April 30th and May 1st, and followed 2 weeks later at Atlas Screen Supply in Chicago, May 14th and 15th. And as always, all my events and seminars and things like that, you can find at under tour dates at my website, terrycombs.com. Anything on your agenda, Aaron?
Nothing particular set up quite yet. Certainly working on a few things, webinars and workshops and whatnot, but just trying to get through the trade show season right now. So we got one more coming up here, DAX Minnesota, which is April 1st and 2nd, just outside of Minneapolis, at the Treasure Island Resort and Casino. Actually, a really nice venue, though, for it. You think Indian Casino might not be the best place, but it really is. They have a great convention center, and if you want to slip over to the casino after the fact, you certainly can do that, and they've got their water park, so I'm excited to see what they've done there, and may have to take the family next year, but excited to go see Scott, and we'll be, I think we're Friday afternoon, we'll be doing the live show. We'll get some more details out about that on social media here soon. So anything else before we get on out of here, Terry?
Nope, nothing more than I will see you next week in Minnesota.
Sounds great. So, well, hopefully you feel better by then. You did a fantastic job, even with the sniffles. I didn't hear it at all. So, good job, Terry.
Very good.
All right,
that was my goal.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
All right, see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Two Regular Guys. Check out our website at tworegularguys.com. That's the number 2regularguys.com. You can also interact with us over at our Facebook page, facebook.com/tworegularguys, or send us a tweet, twitter.com/tworegularguys. And we have a YouTube page. You can find all that from our website, tworegularguys.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to spending some time with you again next week.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar!
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
Listen up, amigos. Little Caesar's Large Hot and Ready Classic is just $5 Monday through Sunday. Other pizza deals are only available Monday through Thursday. I'll smash a foldable chair over and bite them in half, son! Little Caesar's has no strings attached. Those other pizza deals make you buy two or more items, and I'll smash them up! Think I'll run out of chairs to smash? I own the chair factory and all of its subsidiaries, boy!
Get a large, hot and ready pepperoni pizza for just $5 every single day, only at Little Caesar's.
Pizza, pizza.
At participating locations plus tax.